Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 486 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. And if you are watching on YouTube, and probably even if you're listening, you may notice I actually sound a little bit better. I am at work recording this podcast. We actually got the end of the day off early. And so I decided as we get ready to embark on spring break, I'm probably on the beach in Panama City, enjoying a beverage or two and some sunshine, hopefully maybe a little rain, but I'm saying all that to say a different setting, and I'm kind of crunched for time this week as far as schedules go. Chad and I will resume podcasting together probably in the next couple of weeks, because next week's podcast, I'm hoping to find the Austin 316. There's a new Austin 316 IPA by El Segundo Brewing, and I'm hoping to find that on the way to Florida. They don't sell the Austin IPA or the Broken Skull IPAs here in Southern Illinois. They don't sell them in Illinois at all. I've had to go to Missouri or Kentucky to find the previous incarnations of those beers, but my hope is that I have found it and have recorded something to drop on 316, which is Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, and then doing maybe something a little longer or a different Wrestling Under the Influence then for next week's show, Monday the 18th. It'll be WrestleMania themed, though. All month long, we're doing WrestleMania themed podcast, and this one is no exception. I am looking forward to this year's WrestleMania. We are, just under a month away now. And if you are following along on TikTok or on the YouTube channel, you will know that I am doing a daily random WrestleMania fun fact. Some of these are probably common knowledge. Some of them are things that my nerdy brain has worked up. Chad has sent me a couple of ideas, and we've played with those as well. So check it out. If you haven't already subscribed to the YouTube channel, I highly encourage you to. WWE, as I'm recording this on Friday afternoon, just put out a press release that they have hit 100 million subscribers. I just hit 1,000 a few weeks ago, and I'm ecstatic about that. I couldn't even imagine being I think it's the 10th, or it's in the top 10. WWE's YouTube channel is in the top 10 of all YouTube channels out there, so kudos and congratulations to them. Also, if you are watching, you notice I'm wearing my Bobby the Brain Heenan jacket. This is something that my mom repurposed for me, an old suit coat, and made it into a Bobby Heenan jacket for our trip to WrestleMania 27, when Chad and I and our friend Travis Yates went as Heenan family members, and I was the Brain. And I kept this jacket around and wore it for the first couple of years at least of Stride Pro Wrestling. And I busted out every once in a while and actually have it here at work with me, because it was a go red, wear red day thing, and I decided to wear it. So this jacket means a lot to me. Obviously, it's something that my mom made, and she is no longer here. And so I kind of get the warm and fuzzies when I put it on and think of her and the times that she put together a lot of those WrestleMania cosplay outfits that Chad and I wore. And I think, well, that I wore. Chad, she didn't make anything for Chad, but she would have. We will talk, though. I'm hoping we'll pin down some more WrestleMania-themed topics for the next several weeks on the podcast, on the YouTube channel, leading up to, of course, WrestleMania, which is February. Sorry, you would think I've been drinking already. No, I have not. It's April 6th and 7th. The 8th, April 8th, by the way, the big eclipse here in Southern Illinois. So if you live in the area, be sure to check that out. I remember when the eclipse happened in 2017, I was hoping to get Max Moon on the show just to be something silly or different. And I don't know that we'll have a eclipse-themed podcast on the 8th. It's the day after WrestleMania. I don't want to wait until that night to record. So I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but I'm sure Chad and I will have conversations about that and maybe drop something special during the week. Sharing some WrestleMania thoughts. And then, of course, the Monday after WrestleMania, the Raw is always a big deal. So Chad and I have been very fortunate to have attended several of those, as well as the WrestleManias, the Hall of Fame, which we talked about last week. And I'm going to talk more about Hall of Fame this week, just based on an announcement that we got earlier in the day. They've been dropping announcements all week, three announcements so far. As I, again, recording this on Friday, by Monday as the show drops, there may be more out there, but Paul Heyman has been announced, Bull Nakato has been announced, and the U.S. Express, Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo. And I'll get to that here in just a minute or two. But again, want to thank everyone for supporting the shows, supporting the YouTube channel, supporting the TikToks. I'm trying again. In 2024, I am hyper-focused on building the presence on YouTube. And hopefully Chad and I will be doing some projects together, and I'm working with some other wrestling fans out there that may have some stuff to contribute. Always looking for those ideas and things to build this brand, to build up for the My 1-2-3 Cents action figure drive, which is coming up in December. But it really is an ongoing and you know, monthly process. So if you care to make any donations or contributions, we only had, actually, believe it or not, and I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but we only had one person enter into the Sting contest. So he is the automatic winner, and I don't even have that. I'm going to actually, and this is bad TV and bad radio, probably more or bad audio podcasting, but I am going to look real quick here because it's not someone that I know. Who won, but it's someone that obviously was following along and wanted to help and made a donation to the My 1-2-3 Cents action figure drive, and it is Nathaniel Dutton. So Nathaniel, if you happen to listen to this or see this before I am able to message you, send me your address and I will get that t-shirt and the little Sting figure to you ASAP. Speaking of Sting and his last match, I thought it was great. I loved the nostalgia of his sons dressing as Surfer Sting and as TNA Sting. It was a great night. I thought that they did the right thing by putting him over and winning that last match. He goes out undefeated in AEW. Not many professional wrestlers can say that. And I know there's been debate over whether he should have put the Bucks over. I didn't think it was necessary. I thought that that feel-good pop and nostalgia, the memories, you know, seeing Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat on camera. And then I know there were others there, Arn Anderson and Lex Luger, Magnum TA, that weren't necessarily shown on TV. Scotty Riggs was there. But I thought it was cool. Diamond Dallas Page. So, you know, props to AEW, props to Tony Khan, props to Sting, who did that send off and did it his way. And, you know, Chad and I talked about last matches a couple weeks ago. That's the ideal setting. And I know it's not reality for a lot of wrestlers or superstars being able to have that control and being able to do that. But I do like the idea of last matches being a thing and being significant and ending a superstar's career on a high note. Of course, there's already been speculation and buzz that Sting shows up in WWE. I don't think that's going to happen. But you never say never. You know, down the road, maybe he signs a Legends deal again and they do some more figures. But what an icon. Really, an iconic figure of the last 40 years. So kudos again to Sting and congratulations to him. So as promised, and again, this is not going to be a very long episode because I am by myself and I am itching to get on the road to Panama City. So I'm going to get home, get this edited and saved and uploaded and ready to go. So it drops on time on Monday for everyone. And I do appreciate those of you who do listen right away. And I know a lot of times this podcast kind of takes a little time to simmer out there in the universe, and it gets listeners and downloads much later after it drops. So this may, as you're listening to this, it may not be as timely, but I did want to share some memories and some thoughts on the U.S. Express, because honestly, Bull Nakano nor the U.S. Express were on my bingo card for Hall of Fame inductions in 2024. But certainly both the tag team of Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo and Bull Nakano, I think I'm saying a name wrong, or I was, it's Bull Nakano, I believe, worthy of going in. And I like the fact, I watched the clip of Triple H letting Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo know that they were going in, and the emotion from both men. And it's been an emotional year for the family. Of course, Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo are brothers-in-law. Mike is married to Barry's sister, who is, of course, the daughter of Black Jack Mulligan. And Mike is, of course, the father of the late, great Bray Wyatt, who there is still speculation that he will also be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And so seeing that emotion from both of these superstars, and Barry's already in. He went in 2012 as part of the Four Horsemen. But when I was a kid, when I was first starting to watch pro wrestling, you know, I know Barry Windham had been in Florida for a while, and Mike Rotundo had been around for a bit as well. I know that they both kind of landed in the WWF in, I would say, mid to late 84, probably, formed this tag team, or the U.S. Express. They used to come out to Born in the USA. Then they came out to Real American, which, of course, we know now is Hulk Hogan's theme music, or became Hulk Hogan's theme music. They were a short-lived tag team, and if you look at the grand scheme of things, I think Barry was there about a year before he ended up leaving the company and going back to Jim Crockett Promotions, and he bounced back and forth to the WWF. I think that Windham and Rotundo, though, At the time, for sure, was my favorite tag team. There weren't a whole lot, you know, I wasn't a fan. The British Bulldogs were just not really there yet. But as they came along, the British Bulldogs did become my favorite tag team. But, you know, I thought the Legion of Doom or the Road Warriors were fine. I never got overly hyped for the Road Warriors. I liked Windham and Rotundo, and being managed by Captain Lou Albano, who had recently turned babyface, I remember very vividly still to this day, and this has been 39 years ago this month, my buddy and I bowled on Saturdays, and I don't know if it was the Saturday before WrestleMania or if it was a couple weeks before WrestleMania, but I remember talking specifically about the match between Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo, who had beaten Adrian Adonis and Dick Murdoch in January for the WWF Tag Team titles. And we were talking about Sheik and Volkoff. Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff were challenging Windham and Rotundo for the belts. And I said, there's no way that Windham and Rotundo lose the belts. And I can't remember what position he took, but we had a very intense discussion about it. And I remember parts of that. We were at the bowling alley in the parking lot. His dad was driving us home. And obviously I was wrong. And Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo will go down as not only being the tag team champions, but they are the first championship match to be held at WrestleMania. That match was the very first championship match, I think. Now that I'm saying that, I'm debating if it was Junkyard Dog and Greg the Hammer Valentine for the IC title. But regardless, Windham and Rotundo were the first tag team to lose, or first champions to lose their belts at WrestleMania, which would say that Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff were the first men to win championships at WrestleMania, which that was one of the random WrestleMania fun facts. But of course, Classy Freddie Blassie's interference with the cane, Nikolai Volkoff gets the pin on Barry Windham. And I was bummed. I was legitimately bummed. Then I remember, you know, I'm 12 years old at the time, and we got the Saturday night's main event, the very first one, Wyndham Rotundo and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat teaming up to take on Sheik Volkoff and George the Animal Steel. This was a significant night. It's not only the first Saturday night's main event, I believe that was the opening contest as well, but that's the night George the Animal Steel turned babyface and joined Captain Lou Albano. Wyndham and Rotundo eventually win the tag team titles back. I was excited and happy that the U.S. Express was once again on top, but then they lose them later that summer, maybe early fall, to Greg the Hammer Valentine and Brutus Beefcake, a makeshift team that I did not think very highly of. Again, I was 12, and I'm pulling for the baby faces, but it was not long after this that Barry leaves. And so the U.S. Express, in the scope of professional wrestling over the last 40 years, really only encapsulate about a year of that. But to me, their impact was significant. They were on that cutting edge, that leading edge of the rock and wrestling connection. They're on the cover of the wrestling album, or maybe on the inside or on the back cover, you know, how it opens up and it's a panoramic shot of all the superstars in the studio. They're a part of that. They had, of course, the Real American theme song there for a little bit. So they were significant in that time. I was disappointed that they never got LJN figures, though. I thought that for sure they would be on that short list of superstars, especially since they were champions not once but twice during the course of 1985. But that wasn't meant to be. But regardless, their impact continued to grow even after they left the WWF. Wyndham would go to the NWA, like I said, and join the Four Horsemen and have a significant run there as a tag team champion. He was the United States champion. You know, he turned on the American Dream Dusty Rhodes. Comes back to the WWF in 89 as the Widowmaker. Leaves again. Comes back again in 95 or 96 as the Stalker. Leaves again. Or I can't remember if he left. Yeah, I think he might have left for a little bit and then came back again and wrestled as Blackjack Wyndham. So Barry was back and forth and different gimmicks and different things for him. I always liked it better as just plain old Barry Wyndham, but WWE, Vince McMahon, for whatever reason, thought he needed some sort of window dressing. He was a little, I would say, vanilla and as far as his, you know, kind of like Dustin Rhodes. Great technician, great in the ring, but the character maybe wasn't there, the personality. And of course, in the WWF, WWE, it was always about being larger than life and being that personality. And that wasn't always, didn't always resonate or come through for those who were not kind of up to snuff, if you will. And Mike Rotundo, I would also kind of put in that category. Again, the U.S. Express at the time, I enjoyed them. They didn't have face paint and they weren't flashy. They wore white windbreakers and were patriotic guys. I mean, but they weren't, you know, looking back on it now, almost 40 years later, they weren't the most exciting tag team. But to me, at 12 and 13, loved it and I enjoyed it. But when Barry left, that left a void for Mike to find a partner. And they inserted Danny Spivey, who had a very similar look to Barry Wyndham, tall, blonde. They put him in yellow tights, though, like Hulk Hogan. So, you know, it was almost like Hulk Hogan's little brother being there. Spivey and Rotundo didn't click, I didn't think. I don't think they had the chemistry, and maybe it's the family thing with Wyndham and Rotundo. I don't know, but I feel like Wyndham and Rotundo were just a great tag team unit. Captain Lou, of course, being a big part of that, too, for me. And again, I'm viewing this through the lens of a 12-year-old, and I enjoyed it, though, very much. And then we see Mike Rotundo leave eventually from the WWF and go to Crockett, probably around the time that Ted Turner was buying the company. And something that we had not seen Mike Rotundo do either, you know, Barry Wyndham eventually became a heel, and Mike Rotundo became a heel. And I think his best work was probably as a heel as well, a member of the Varsity Club, and found more tag team success with Rick Steiner and Dr. Death Steve Williams under the tutelage of Kevin Sullivan. His time there, he was TV champion. They were tag team champions for a minute. they being Varsity Club. So they found success in Crockett as well as the WWF. And then eventually Rotundo leaves and goes back to the WWF in early 91, I believe it was, as Irwin R. Scheister. He becomes IRS and enjoys a little success as a single, doesn't win any gold, but eventually teams up with the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase and finds himself as a tag team champion once again. And I think they traded the belts with the Steiners and then traded them with the Natural Disasters maybe. And eventually, when Ted has to retire because of injuries, we see Mike Rotundo or IRS become a member of the Million Dollar Corporation and get managed by Ted DiBiase. Eventually, he leaves and goes back to the WWF. He had been Michael Wall Street, too, along the way in Crockett or WCW. Goes back to WCW in 96 when the NWO is, you know, at a fever pitch and picking up new members, and he becomes a member of that. And I can't remember if they called him Mike Rotundo then or what his name was, what his moniker was. But eventually he goes back to the WWF or WWE as a agent and working backstage, producer, helping put together matches. Of course, responsible, I would assume, for bringing in Bray Wyatt and his other son, Bo Dallas, who both wrestled in NXT and got that developmental. But with the Bloodline coming through them, another famous wrestling family, wrestling royalty, wrestling family of the Mulligans, great success stories there. And that's kind of their careers in a nutshell as far as their WWF, WWE time. But I'm excited. I'm happy for them. I'm happy for the family. And I do hope now with Mike going in, I do hope that Bray is honored this year as well. And I would assume maybe even by the time you're listening to this, that announcement has been made. But I am interested to hear what your thoughts are. Who else should go in? Chad and I talked last week about kind of capping those classes and not having too many going in. What are your thoughts on that? Let us know in the comments of either YouTube or wherever you listen to this podcast. And please write a review. Leave your thoughts on what we're talking about, what I'm talking about, what's being discussed, what you'd like to hear in the future. Episode 500 just down the road. So we're looking to do some fun things with that. I'm working on, again, some other projects. We're going to do the Black Bart book. The author, Vinnie Barry, is going to join me in April. We're going to be talking about the 40-year anniversary of Kerry Von Erich winning the NWA Heavyweight Championship with Pondwater Dave. If you're a listener to the Conrad podcast, you know who Pondwater Dave is. I'm excited to get to meet him virtually and talk with him about Kerry Von Erich. We're both big fans of Kerry Von Erich. And again, follow along on TikTok and on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Join the Facebook group because we are working on what will be an enhancement talent, or as Chad calls them, jobbers. I don't know if jobbers is PC anymore, but an enhancement talent suite. It's not Sweet 16, but a bracket style tournament that we'll be posting exclusively in the Facebook group. So join the Facebook group. Again, the settings are private because we got some people that joined that were up to no good and posting things that shouldn't be posted on social media. So I had to end up making it a private group. But please make a request to join the group. Join us. It's the My 123 Cents group. And I'll post more on the regular My 123 Cents page as well to encourage folks to do that. Friends, I want to thank you again for listening and or watching to this week's episode. I'm really looking to invest and get some new equipment at my house as well, so I don't do this at work and use the equipment here. But I had an opportunity, and I was going to take it for a quick podcast. So thanks again for being here, being a part of the show, being a part of the journey, being a part of the brand. I appreciate it more than you will ever know. Thanks again, and we will talk again soon. Have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.